B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
It's the 3 o'clock hour on the Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party chairs every bit as good. We're all around the map today. We're talking, we're going to open some convo with the Sixers soon, since that season is going to kick off. And the Flyers are playing in Prague on Friday. First game.
Yeah.
In Prague.
Yeah, a little fancy. Blackhawks. Uh-huh. Get off to a good start. Come back on, what, they play Friday and then Wednesday, I think it is, at home. So
yeah. Well, the kid got routed by the Swiss national team. You saw that, right?
It was a pro-Swiss team. It wasn't the Swiss national team, but yeah.
Well, a pro-Swiss team. Still, like, NHL rejects and Switzerland kids.
Yeah, but who's playing in front of them?
You know, listen, that's a bad loss for them. Can't lose that Swiss team.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
Go take care of business in the regular season.
NHL team can't lose to a Swiss team.
Why?
And the goalie was Swiss cheese.
Well, with their backups, you can't lose to anybody.
All right. Well, whatever. The Flyers have not had a great preseason. I hope it is going to be different in the regular season.
They're making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because they have to.
I'm not feeling it.
I think they're going to be the 6th or 7th seed. I was reading. Uh-huh. I was doing research, looking up. Most people pick them in that 6, 7, 8 range. Mm-hmm. Some as high as 6, though. They got to make the playoffs.
Yeah. All right. You asked me before the show what my plan would be for the Phillies.
Yes, right now, right.
For as position-wise, who's stays.
Who's playing where, yep.
Well, I'm going to, you know, this Segura thing to me. I think Segura somehow poisons a team. I came to that conclusion by the end of the year.
You did.
I was just tired of his nonsense. And that kind of thing pulls down a team when you see a guy do that. And he did it repeatedly. And when Gabe talks about this effort, like, that's part of non-effort. So I would actually think about moving him.
And I kind of agree with that.
And I would acquire, since the Yankees have a lot of young players at this position, I would acquire Didi Gregorius.
Ooh. He's
and he would be my shortstop. I would trade Hernandez for a relief pitcher. Kingery would be my everyday second baseman. I would try to come up with a center fielder because I have to. Now, I don't know who that would be, but Bohm, Gregorius, Kingery, and I give Reese a pass and say, all right, you got to find something in the offseason.
I like that.
Harper, McCutchen, an everyday center fielder. Haseley is the 4th outfielder. And I guess you got to keep the left-handed masher, the man with no batting gloves, since he had a couple more home runs. And the last impression is what people love to gravitate to, right?
Yeah.
Well, Bamboo Brad next year hit .215. But they're going to have to, like, come back with him.
You know what was disturbing? Jason Stark wrote something about, he had more multi-home run games this year than the first baseman.
Yeah.
That can't happen again. That cannot happen again.
No.
That can't happen.
And I don't know whether Reese Hoskins is a flash or not, but they have to give him a chance to get back because he's a home run hitter and you just can't discard home run hitters.
That actually made me feel better.
There you go. I got Bohm. I got Gregorius. He's a better shortstop than Segura. And he's got pop as well. I get rid of the poison that Segura is. I got Kingery at second base and the Hernandez representing the losing era of Philly baseball. I know he's got a lot of hits and all that. He's a guy that has to go, in my opinion. And you freshen that whole thing up. That infield is now freshened.
Is the catcher back no matter what?
Yeah.
The reason I say that is there are people out there that believe that based on WAR and OPS and everything, that
grind down,
that you shouldn't pay him. You should pay him based on where he bats in the lineup, not based on all the other stuff. And there are people out there that think that he's more like a 5-6 hitter, and you can't pay $20 million to a guy who's not.
Well, here's why I have to pay that, because he's a known commodity, and I don't have to worry about it. Like Bryce Harper, that's what I said all year about Bryce Harper. I don't worry about Bryce Harper. I know what he brings. I know what Real Muto brings. So you're gonna have to pay him.
Okay, right. I'm just saying people have written that. That's why I'm asking.
I understand, but my philosophy on baseball teams is the fewer guys you have to worry about, the better off you are. Right? And I don't have to worry about my catcher. I don't have to worry about my right fielder. I have to worry about a lot of other things, and that's why I'm cementing them, so I don't have to worry about them. The Phillies don't seem to act that way. All right, let's go Nate in Spring City. Nate, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nate.
Hey, Mike, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, Nate?
What's going on, man? Yo, man, I was a guy, man, I pulled up in the parking lot at Hooters last Thursday, man.
Oh, yeah.
That was me, man. Yeah, yeah, I just want to say thank you to you, Nat, and Tyrone for taking a few pictures with me. And then I'll take.
That's my pleasure, Nate. My pleasure,
yeah,
man.
I had a blast, man.
You saw me listening to tunes before the show.
No, I couldn't believe it, man. I pulled up, I'm like, oh, Mike, you missed the phone.
Yeah, I was in my car for a bit just listening to the tunes, get my mind right.
Get your mind right for the show, right?
Yes.
And then I was also able to see, you know what I'm saying, the white caddy that you talked about so much on the show.
The white Mercedes, you know, not the caddy.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man.
Man.
My bad.
So I got 2 points. One, for the Phillies, there's no way that they could bring Gabe Kapler back. I mean, like, the way that this man, day in and day out, week in and week out, you know what I'm saying, was on that podium post-game and basically lying to the fan base about how great this team is and how much effort this team is putting in is absolutely disgraceful and shameful, and they cannot bring that man back.
What is his definition of effort? Like, I love when baseball managers go, oh, I fought hard. Well, you don't fight in baseball. You do your job. You play it to your best of your ability. It's simple. You run the first base when you hit a ball. What is this effort thing that he's talking about?
It's non-existent.
What do they do? Hit a blocking sled out there in the outfield? Like, what effort is he talking about?
Exactly. And their record, 81-81. Mike, tell me I'm lying. Isn't that not the definition of mediocrity? That is the definition of mediocrity. 81.
It is, and that's why, Nate, you got to make a change, because the fan base now doesn't trust this guy. Now, whether you believe in him or not, whether you think he got a raw deal because of the injuries or not, if you're the front office and you're evaluating him, at this point, your customer doesn't trust the guy. So you can't bring back a guy that the customer doesn't trust, because then the customer is going to look for any negative thing they can to pull the guy down. And they're going to roll their eyes the whole season because you brought this guy back and they didn't believe in him. At that point, it's a point of no return. Sorry, Gabe. You might be a good man. I don't know. I don't think you are. But because you're into these stupid platitudes. And you don't understand these grown men in that clubhouse, when they got their manager talking like some rah-rah idiot, it actually works against you. Let's go to Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Drew?
Hey, man. So, you know, the Phillies, I don't want to talk about them. They're done. The season's over. So what I do want to talk about is a team that's actually got a meaningful game coming up, which would be the Flyers come Friday. I know it's kind of taboo to talk about the Flyers, but, you know, it's the first game of the season.
I've been talking about it all show, man.
No. I'm proud of you, man. I know.
Yeah.
Good show so far. So anyway. Uh-huh.
I'm not really seeing much in the squad right now, but maybe you can enlighten me.
Yeah, no, and I was about to get in this conversation with Tyrone yesterday, and my thoughts on the Flyers are, I think they're going to be a competitive team. I know we just like to hear that, you know, but playoff team, you know, the East is a very tough conference. I mean, you have a lot of tough teams in that conference, and I think they have got a lot of young players. They're just not as established enough team as a couple of the other teams in Philly are right now, so that's why I wasn't giving them as much praise yesterday as, you know, a couple of the other Philly teams. But, you know, I don't know what your thoughts are on the Flyers season. I mean, but I think playoffs could be possible, but I think it's going to be an eight seed possible. It's just going to be a real tough drive in this Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I don't see them as a playoff team yet. I think they need more than what they have. And I don't know why Tyrone would say they're a playoff team. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I
agree. Other than the goalie, he thinks the goalie is Jacques Plante. But we'll see soon enough.
No, we will, and that's why I think, you know, they got a lot of young guys that it's going to be a building season, and we'll see. I mean, maybe these guys develop quicker than normal.
Here's what I think. I don't think a goalie can prop up a mediocrely talented team. I think a goalie can enhance a good team. Like the St. Louis Blues were a good team. At the end of the day, they were a good team.
But at the end of the year, they weren't all year. They were terrible.
I know, but at the end of the year, they were a good team. And the goalie was great for them. But the goalie was great because that team in front of them was better. The Flyers haven't reached the plateau where the goalie can actually carry a mediocrely talented team. First of all, he's too young for that.
He's young, but also I don't know if we'll find out if these young players are good or not. I think they have to make the playoffs. And I'm tired of
these.
The
young players in hockey take longer to be good. Young players in hockey don't become good like that. Like you're talking about the Morgan Frost and the Farabees and these guys.
They got to play here. They got to step in and play.
But they're not going to be impact players in the NHL right away.
They had 82 points last season.
Uh-huh.
There are people who are picking the Devils. I'm talking about Flyers fans that are okay with the Devils or the Rangers passing them, even though they were worse last year. No. I can't have any of this.
I hope you're right. I don't see the Flyers right now as a playoff team.
I think they're
I don't see them. You're very optimistic. I look at the Flyers, I go, they just don't have enough right now.
I think they do, and I think some of these young guys are going to play a little bit better, the ones that are already on the squad.
All right.
Guys are going to go from 20 to 30 goals.
Yeah, who's that? Connecting?
He could be one of them. Why can't he take a step forward?
He can, because he's got goal-scoring ability.
Giroux still has enough left. He gives you a bunch of assists.
For 30 goals?
30 goals and give you a bunch of assists. 50 assists.
You think I don't even think Flyer fans think that much of Giroux anymore.
That's because they just don't like him.
Well, I mean, good player. Not a great player.
Really good player.
Good player.
I think he's a really good
player. Not a great player.
No, not a great player.
All right. Chris in Jersey on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
How you doing, Mikey?
What's up, Chris?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about this whole Gabe Tapler thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching a national syndicated sports show yesterday. I forget which one it was. And they mentioned that Madden, he's originally from, he has 30 years experience in the office at
31 years with the Angels.
So you know that already. So what makes anybody think these guys are convinced on this national program that he's definitely going back to that organization? He still has a house there. He's tied to the community, and he's heading back there. And we have no shot to get him.
Probably not.
For the Phillies.
And that's why I think there's a delay here, because I think they would have liked to hire Madden, who is the perfect compromise of analytics, and he would be accepted by the fan base as a competent manager. And I think the Angels just climbed right in here and said, dude, we're going to get a blank check to come back.
Right. And another thing they brought up, too, was there was no coincidence how there was a sequence of events where he was let go by the Cubs, and then almost instantaneously, that guy, Brad Rasmus.
Rasmus was fired.
Was fired, yeah. Right? Shortly after.
After one year. So you're saying that the likelihood is that they already have a deal with Madden. They're just trying to work out the details.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I kind of agree with you.
So Philly shouldn't get their hopes up of getting him.
Not him, but there are other guys out there that the fan base would accept.
I got you. And I'm so anxious. I really hope that Philly moves on and that the ownership understands that we had such high expectations. And I don't know. At least to make the playoffs, and we didn't even come close. It's very disheartening.
It was a failed season, and somebody's got to go. You can't bring back everybody on a failed season. You just can't. It just doesn't work. The customer has no faith in that. At the end of the day, you have to satisfy the customer. Whether they think they have to or not, they have to satisfy. Can you imagine if they brought Gabe Kapler back next year? He would have to win the freaking World Series to win over this fan base at this point. And as soon as things would go bad, it would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
They would be saying, they should have brought him back, see? And you're going to waste another season of ours.
So there you go. You're the man to answer this. There's a question out there that says you can't let the fans dictate your decision-making. You just got to go with the guy. What do you say to the people? And there are some people in local media who have said you can't let the fans influence a move like this.
I think it's ridiculous because the fan is your customer. But here's the other thing. They're also right. There's nobody logically minded that would look at this and say he should be back. There's no reason. Why should he be back? he needs to fall because you need a fresh change in that clubhouse. And he's the only position that you can change. You're not going to change the other guys. He's the guy you have to change. You're the owner. Put yourself in the owner's butt. The owner could be defiant and say, his fans don't know what to do. He'd be slapping his fan base around, who pays hard money to go to that game. That wouldn't sit very well with him. And Middleton's a businessman. So he knows somebody's got to fall for something like this. Or he's looked at as a guy who's willing to accept mediocrity. And he's a prideful man. He's not going to let that happen. Thomas in Houston. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello, Mike.
What's up, Tom?
Mike, let me say this before I get to my point. I'm through with Sidney Jones, Mike. I've seen enough. I don't want to see him no more, Mike. Every time he run over 50 yards, the guy pull the hamstring. I'm through with him, Mike.
Yeah, he is a little injury prone.
Yeah, but Mike, listen, I remember after one of the Sixers lost, you said something important. You said if your star player, which is Joel Embiid, cannot have a good game, you need your second guy to have a good game. And I know you took a lot of heat for that. Well, I agree with you, Mike. I am proud of Ben Simmons. I was probably one of his biggest critics based on one thing. He never took responsibility. I'm seeing a much mature Ben Simmons coming back, Mike. If he can win me over, he can win anybody over. Mike,
did you see something I didn't see? Was there a game where he made several jump shots?
No, Mike. Oh. He's mature. I believe in him, Mike. Yeah. I believe everything he's
Well, done. Listen, I don't believe until I see. All right, so he can say all he wants, and he can show me all the videos he wants. What's that?
You know how he used to get frustrated when somebody asked him about his shot? He sat there, he answered every question yesterday, and not one time did he get frustrated.
Okay, well, that's good. But see, it's not what he says, and it's not what he's showing me on iPhone videos.
He admitted, he said that he was worried about what people said.
Uh-huh.
He had to fall back in love with the game.
Okay.
Because he had to quit caring about what people said.
I get it, Thomas. I get it. That doesn't mean he's going to start taking jump shots in the NBA. Once he does, Thomas. But I'm not in because he sounds more confident. I'm sorry.
If he's open, he's going to take it.
He says that. Now we'll see.
All right.
I say I'm going to be president of the United States. I know that's not going to happen.
Well, I hope it is.
It's not going to happen. I put out my feelers. I don't think I have anybody that would support me for that position.
No.
No, I think I'd be good at it, too.
I mean, why not?
Yep.
The party of Mike?
Party of Mike, right, greater than wrong, would be my slogan.
Oh, I like that. That's a good one.
Uh-huh. It's all my platform would be, right, better than wrong.
Greater than sign. Yeah.
Yeah.
Short to the point.
Bumper stickers all throughout America.
I can see it now.
Party of Mike.
We should get those bumper stickers made.
I think it'd be a good idea for somebody to make those bumpers.
I think so, too. Party of Mike.
Yes. Bill and Mantua. Bill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill. What's
hey
up,
guys,
Bill?
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I listen to you guys all the time. You guys help me get through my day. I'm on the road most of the time. Morning show, and you guys are great. So I call a couple times. I just wanted to call today because I was having a pretty bad day. You know, everybody has bad days. And I'm driving through Main Street in Mullica Hill and a huge Eagles fan. And I look to my right and I see some tall ginger guy with a blonde girl and two dogs. And I'm like, no, it can't be. So I pull over, and it was Carson Wentz, and I got a picture with him, and made my day a whole lot better. So I just wanted to call and say I was listening to you guys.
Now, what was he doing?
He was walking his dog down the street in Mullica Hill, New Jersey, with his wife.
Huh.
I had no idea why he was there. I thought he lived in Pennsylvania. But
and you pulled over and said, hey, Carson?
Yeah, I said, hey, Carson, and he let me take a picture, shook his hand, real nice dude.
Huh. All right. Well, I'm glad you had that experience. I'm wondering if that's a violation, though.
Why? Because he.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a fine line. Is that a violation? He's in a private setting, Tyrone, walking with the wife and his dogs, and you're in a car. Is it a violation to pull over and bother him?
Uh,
Yes. If you're just walking down the street, not a violation. Yeah, violation.
Yeah, I'm just, Bill, listen, you did what you did, and it was a thrill for you, but I just wondered if that... Siri's talking to me for some reason.
That happens sometimes.
I just have one question for you guys about the Eagles and the cornerback.
Uh-huh.
If we can't get Jalen Ramsey because it seems like Jacksonville, for whatever reason, doesn't want to get rid of him, would you rather have Xavien Howard or would you rather have Chris Harris? I know Howard is a little more
expensive. Like Chris Harris.
Contract. Yeah, Chris Harris.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if, I mean, he's a little bit older and...
Chris Harris is what, 30?
Well, yeah, 30.
Yeah, see, but they're in win. Like, the Eagles are can't look at the 30, you know?
Yeah.
He's got a couple years left, and they need help desperately back there.
I just don't know how much he has in his system because, I mean, he was playing with a great secondary. So how much do you think that upped his game?
He's got ability. He's the best I could do. It's an upgrade over what I have. So to me, that would be a no-brainer if you could pry him away. 610-620-975. Natalie, is that a violation?
I would not like it if someone did that to me.
With the car, if you just see somebody,
Say hello if you're walking down the street.
Yeah, absolutely. You should. Like, you know, I think more people should say hi to each other in general walking down the street. But pulling over when he's, like, with his wife and the dog.
Take a selfie with me, that kind of thing.
Yeah, to me, that's too much because, and today, today's Tuesday, so this is his only day off. I'm not feeling bad for him saying this is his one day off with the missus. It's Tuesday. He's in the office every other day.
Carson's such a nice guy, though. He's not
going to
say no.
No, he's not going to. I'm saying I would not. I agree with you, Natalie. I think it's inappropriate to do that. Oh, Carson would never go, no, I'm with my wife. Like, Carson's going to do whatever he
wants. No, the act of pulling over to get his attention, to take the selfie.
Pulling over for anything is a little sketch, in my opinion.
Yeah, sketch is a good word for that, Natalie.
Yeah, it's just a little sketchy.
Fans don't think of it like the other side of it. Like, fans are like, oh, Carson, what's that? I can't get a selfie. Like, they don't think that maybe it's an intrusion on his privacy.
I think maybe a honk and a wave is appropriate. Hey, like, Carson.
If he's walking and he's on a path or something, and you're walking the same path and you come the other way, and you run into him that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's fine.
Totally fine.
Yeah, different story.
Drive up, get out the car, walk. Uh-huh. Totally fine. Pull over like that.
Yeah.
Girl, yeah.
All right. 610-632-0975. Two open lines. Good time to get in. What do you think about the Phillies, the Capitals situation? The Eagles in a lull. They're playing the Jets. They're going to cream the Jets. We don't have to worry about this game. But there's a long time we have to wait for the next game. And the Sixers and Flyers, baby. That's all coming together. Phillies are out, right? They don't play anymore. So we only have three teams.
But we get the manager.
We only have three teams that are playing in the same time.
Yeah.
Where it could have been four this week. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 6:32. It's time to update the Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie, 3:30 Twitter poll update.
Yes, thanks, Mike. We have over 2,300 votes on this one so far. Who do you want as the manager for the Phillies? 10% say Kapler, 37% say Madden, 43% go Girardi, and 10% go other.
All righty. Sounds good.
Couple write-ins for Raul Ibanez still.
Raul Ibanez is back in nowhere.
It's just so random.
He works for the Dodgers now, their front office, I guess, which was the same situation Kapler was. He worked in front office. He went, we were going to go the same road?
This is what the Phillies thought was smart. First-time GM, first-time manager, first-time pitching coach, first-time hitting coach, all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that be a good idea to have all rookies? And now you're going to take this other GM, who's still not seasoned in any way, and put another first-time manager in? That's the one thing. I don't know how much baseball managers actually do, but whoever they hire must be experienced. It cannot be another first-time manager.
Uh-huh.
It can't be.
Yeah. All right. We'll continue the discussion on that. Let me tell you a couple of golf course stories here.
All right.
Since I played
100 holes.
Played a lot. We played 48 holes, I think.
Wow, that's a lot of golf.
Yeah, in a period of 72 hours. But anyway, we're at this really, it's the first time I've ever been there, but apparently a lot of people know about it. It's called the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs. It's this kind of estate-like hotel that's existed there for over 100 years.
All right.
And it's got a lake, it's got two beautiful golf courses, the whole bit. So they sent us out on, they have an east and a west course. They sent us out on the west course. And they hook us up, it's just me and my buddy, and they hook us up with a couple, a guy who's a roofer in Edmonton.
Oh.
This big lumberjack looking dude, and his wife, who's very charming and athletic looking, good golfer, beautiful swing, and she's got this like heavy Canadian accent. So we're playing with them. Unfortunately, we're also playing behind a club members tournament.
Oh. And those guys play slow in those tournaments.
Slow?
Yeah.
It took us 2 hours to play six holes. And I can't play that way. I just can't play that way. So the guy calls, the guy in Edmonton calls the pro shop and goes, listen, these guys, we're waiting like 15 minutes behind them on every shot. It's like ridiculous. And there's something to be said. The members have the right to play.
Yeah.
But slow is slow. Right, even pro golfers are put on a clock.
Right, at some point, right? Let's go.
It's just as courteous because there are people playing. Like we're playing like more than $300 to play the damn course, so we shouldn't be inconvenienced either.
Right,
right. So he calls in, and so the marshal comes out and realizes they're playing slow because they're like a hole ahead of them, and they're really, really slow. So they tell the marshal from the assistant pro to go bleep themselves, so they curse him out.
Will?
What?
Yeah, yes. They shoo the guy.
Wow.
And he like limps back. He's getting his card, and he comes up to us and says, "I'm sorry, I can't hurry him up." So I go, "I can't play this course. Let's go to the East course." So we took the cart. We left the couple, and my buddy and I played the other course, which was wide open.
Yeah.
So, but we run into these people at 9. And they're having lunch at the 9, so they want us to play through them. So I noticed one guy has an Alabama cap on. He's got an Alabama visor. I go, "Oh, Alabama." He goes, "Roll Tide." And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah." I have nephews that live down there, but I'm not big on the program. He goes, "Why not?" I go, "I hate Nick Saban."
Ooh.
Oh,
and he goes, "Yeah, well, I can see it." And then I go, "In fact, here's how it goes on my hate list."
Oh, man.
Saban 2, Trump number 1. I get crickets. I get crickets. And then I realized that probably wasn't the right thing to say to the people from Tuscaloosa. Right?
You know.
What?
I mean,
gotta know the room. No, know your audience. Know your audience.
What I always give Mike props for is he is who he is everywhere.
I'm fearless.
You just keep it real. That's all.
Yeah, I'm fearless.
Yeah.
When it comes to that. But then I realize, wow. I go, "Well, have a good round, you guys." All right, let's go to Harry in Villanova. Harry, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Harry.
It's like the old days when you drove rolling up.
Yeah.
But I had to get in the middle of it.
You did get in the middle of it. What's up, man? This is Harry Peretta, the women's coach of Villanova University, women's basketball.
I was the only one in Vegas when he took the job, and you were there. We're both there at the same time.
And he was glad to see me, wasn't he?
Oh, God. I'm glad to see you doing well. Listen to you every day.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
I got a great story for you because you're talking about the netting.
Yes.
Okay, I go to the World Series when the Phillies are playing the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
I get seats diagonal behind home plate, right?
Yep.
So I'm safe. I got my two sons with me and my wife, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I go up to get a soda. Jeter gets his bat sawed off. I don't know if you remember this. The bat goes towards third base.
Yes, I do actually remember this.
I'm watching it, getting the soda up at the concession stand, okay?
Uh-huh.
30 seconds later, the woman who's waiting on us runs up and grabs me and tells me that my son got hit by that bat.
Oh, my.
I said, it's impossible. I said, we're sitting behind home plate. How about the bat boomeranged around the netting, came back? The vice president of Major League Baseball, my wife said, ducked. He ducked his head, missed him, hit my son with the barrel of the bat, thank God, in his sternum, and then hit him with the spear part.
You know, I actually used that story in my sports law class.
We were talking about the
netting and all that stuff and the liability and stuff.
Well, how about the next day, the vice president of Major League Baseball calls me, find out how he's doing, winds up sending me probably $2,000 worth of merchandise.
Well, of course.
Yeah, I mean,
he didn't want you to walk to the lawyer's office.
Exactly right. But what are the chances of that bat boomeranging and coming all the way around the netting at third base and back behind the plate and hitting it?
I know. So you like the fact that they have the netting there now?
Well, now my son does. My son heard it today and he was happy as hell. The one that got hit. But I got the bat. My son has the bat. So he winds up making himself about $2,000 on the bat. He's going to sell it once you get them into the Hall of Fame. It was worth getting hit by the barrel of the bat. He said, yeah.
That's a good story, man. So you guys got a squad this year, Hare?
We're not good this year, man. Don't talk about me. We're not good.
All right. You got to go out and get Elaine Deladon's type. All right.
Yeah, all that got screwed up, too.
All right, buddy. All right.
Have a good time.
All right, man. Yeah, that's Harry Perotti. He's a good guy. Coaching the women's team for years down there, Nova. Fancy Nova now at the new dorms.
All that new stuff.
No, good for them.
Yes. Fundraising.
Oh, man.
They were able to rip off like about $100 million in funds right away. Boom, for that project. Say what two national championships do for you? All right, 610-622-0975. So we have a report on many Sixers stayed late after practice.
Get shots up and stuff, yeah.
Apparently Ben Simmons says this is the best practice he's ever been to as a Sixer.
He's not the only one that said
yeah.
that.
Really?
He said that,
yeah.
And so did the coach.
So they're
but
all
Ben Simmons led with it, yeah.
Yeah, they're all hype.
Really sharp, hard. Well, then when you know you're good,
you
come out firing.
You stay at the practice, that's a telltale sign, right?
Yeah.
Why do these guys get lauded for staying at the practice? It's part of their job to stay at the practice.
I don't think it was that. I don't think it was about lauding. It's that so many of them, the culture is a little bit different this year.
Oh, good.
It's only day one.
I think it's fantastic.
That's what I think it's about. Not giving credit. Although the guy who stayed the last.
Matisse Thybulle.
Well, that's a guy who knows he's in a competition spot. Mm-hmm. We had Innocent Studio with Barkley for minutes.
There's no reason not to stay late at the practice. What's the reason why you would not stay at the practice? You'd be looked at as a selfish lout.
Well, unless you're nursing an injury or something as the season goes.
I don't look at that as a news story of such.
What? Just saying people stayed.
That's great.
They said Richardson.
It's wonderful.
And
I want to see Ben Simmons shoot a jump shot.
October 23rd is the first game we can't fast forward.
I don't care about his attitude being better. I don't care him saying they're the best practice they ever had. Show me NBA time, and I'm in.
Well, 3 weeks, 22
all right,
days.
610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3:48, Mike Missinelli's show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. I'd like to get a lot of feedback from the netting that the Phillies are now going to install down the lines. And a lot of people are angered about the lack of foul ball situation now.
You know,
players flip them to the kids there. That's not going to happen anymore. What about the ball girl down the line?
Well, maybe...
She's going to have to go wrap around the
netting? Probably
be in the same spot she was at.
They'll probably be the ones that they can move, right? That they have at the other ballparks where you can take them down prior to the game and they'll flip the balls and then they'll put them up during the game.
Well, that's what I'm saying, during the game.
Right.
The foul balls are going to, not as many are going to go into it unless they loop over the net. And after the inning, players usually get the third out and they flip it to somebody in the stands.
Maybe there will be like a little
You know what?
Hole.
To me, that was always fraudulent anyway. A home run ball or nothing.
Nonetheless.
A foul ball was never anything.
Nonetheless, you have fewer chances to take home a souvenir baseball.
That didn't bother me.
Oh, there's a lucky fan with a souvenir baseball. Phil Rizzuto.
Yes,
for the money star.
With his baseball.
Let's go to Mo in Philly. Mo, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mo.
Mike, how you doing,
What's up, Mo?
I'm all right, man. Long time listener, first time caller, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Just like Michael Jeffrey Jordan once told the Tar Heel Nation, your roof is your ceiling. I don't mean to be too bashful on Jim Shorts, but I think the man has reached his roof, man. It's time. It might just be time. It seems like it.
He actually blitzes fewer than most defensive coordinators. He's a bend but don't break guy. He's a let's play the sticks type of guy.
Yeah, man, but it's frustrating me, man. You know, just like you just said a little while ago, man, the fan is the customer, man. Just like last week, the team and organization, they listened to us, man. They listened to us and they ran the rock, man. Jordan Howard was the featured back, man. It wasn't none of that Miles Sanders and all that extra nonsense going on.
Well, let me ask you this, Mo. Let's go ahead to the defense, right? If you're a defense coordinator, you got corners like that, how would you play it?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm a play man.
You're gonna play man?
I'm gonna play man with the two safeties atop and see how good or bad these corners are.
You already know that. What are they hiding? What they got? They you know, like this big treasure chest of talent they're gonna take out. You know what they are.
He's putting too much pressure on the defensive line. He keep bringing the defensive line in, right, hoping that they'll bail out the DBs. I don't know. I think Jim Shorts should take a lot of the blame, Mike.
Well, you're not the first guy to dislike Jim Shorts, but I don't know. Kind of goes back to Kapler. You blame Kapler for their lack of pitching. It's a little different. 162 games, you can get a climate of a baseball team. You can't do that with a football team. But Schwartz is a competent defensive coordinator. Is he an excellent one? I don't know if he's an excellent one. But right now, he's working with look at the corners he's got to work with now. I mean, they had to sign a 35-year-old guy at the scrap heap in Skandrick to come in here and play now.
Right, and then Howie had to make moves around that. That's why they had to get the linebacker, because they cut four who's been playing a bunch of special team snaps to get another linebacker to take his special team snaps. Now, this is not a great situation to judge him. And didn't he piece it together well enough to get him in the playoffs last year? They had a ton of injuries last year at corner.
You know, we're talking about the urgency of the Phillies to hire a manager, but the urgency of the general manager of the Eagles to make a move here.
Darn right.
Well, now, he probably doesn't think he needs to make a move for the Jets.
Right, go to Skandrick and get through the week.
Right.
But by Minnesota and then Dallas, you got to make a move.
The three games on the road.
There were Minnesota, Dallas, Buffalo.
Yes.
Got to make
a move. And also in the Buffalo game, which I pegged from the beginning as a tough one. Now they're actually a good team that will challenge you. Jake in Haddon Township, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Jake.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Jake?
I want to talk about the Flyers, and
yes,
I think I'm much more high on the Flyers than you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me why.
Well, I think they have like that perfect blend of vets and young guys coming up, and they also got a second line center finally.
And that's Kevin Hayes.
Yeah, I mean the Patrick injury does hurt you, but he wasn't doing anything really. But I do like the team. They finally got veteran defensemen too, so.
Niskanen.
I think they'll be a lot better. And Braun.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm feeling it. I'll be honest with you. This is not a team that overwhelms me. Like I'm looking at their lines. And you know, the big free agent they have is a third line player from last year. He's a third line player. It's the third line. Yeah, they're counting on Farabee, right? But it's the Scott Laughtons and Van Riemsdyks. Now it's kind of the same. Second line, they're counting. The Konechny's a nice player. They're counting on Oscar Lindblom. I don't feel him yet.
I think Oscar Lindblom's good. I think he has the potential to be a 20-goal scorer or a 30-goal scorer.
You think he could be a 30-goal scorer? I'll tell you what, I'll take the under for a sandwich.
I think he's here. I'll do that.
All right, I'll take the under on Oscar Lindblom.
I'll take
30,
the under.
Under 30. You'll take the 30 and over, you win a sandwich.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
You got it, buddy. Flyer fan.
And your JVR slander. I can't.
Come on.
I'm upset
JVR.
At you.
JVR. He's the marquee free agent. I think he scores 27 goals, and he's a third line dude.
Don't allow for any evolution as a player. More defensive system.
Evolution on Van Riemsdyk? Where's that? He's not going to get any better.
Play a little
better.
He
is what he is.
All right.
Scott Laughton. I'm tired of hearing his name year after year after year. Crying out loud. Scott Laughton. It goes on forever with this guy.
Now is the time.
I'm going to say it right now ahead of time. Because I wanted to do Flyers Outsiders.
Outsiders.
Yeah, I wanted to do that. Giroux's going to be a finalist for MVP this year. He's going to be in top three. Giroux. G. Top three in MVP this year.
Mike. I'm dying.
What am I talking to Martinez? Did Tyrone go back in time and Martinez used to be the producer of this show?
Big year for him. Father, a lot of momentum, better team around him, young guys for him to lead. That'll get recognized. He'll be a finalist for the Hart Trophy. Finalist. Not going to win it, but he's going to be one of the top three at the ceremony.
I hope you're right, man. Where's this love come from for G?
I never heard you talk like this before, Ty.
You been hanging out with Martinez?
I have not.
You guys hang out this weekend when I was gone?
No, I wasn't even in town.
All right. 610-620-975. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.